Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's hour two. It is great to have you in on a Monday. We are live in Los Angeles. Small earthquakes today by LAX Airport. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Yes, I shaved the mustache. I looked at it this weekend and thought, nobody's winning here. I'm not. My wife's not. The audience isn't. Joy isn't. Nobody's winning with this mustache. So I shaved it all off. And we're all better for it in America.
I felt like you were going to lose it going into the weekend. You were starting to get irritable about it.
I was getting very irritable.
Yeah. You're very much like me. You do not have a high tolerance for anything that is uncomfortable that's within your control.
Yeah, stuff I can control.
Yeah. If it's out of my control, I'll manage. I'm very low maintenance when it comes to that. But if I can control it, it's got to change immediately.
By the way, your hairstyle today is remarkable.
Thank you. The curls are coming through.
Well, the thing right here I like, it's very stylish.
This little guy.
I think it's really stylish.
Curly hair decides what it wants to do on a pretty much hourly basis.
It's very independent thinking.
It is.
All right, let's go. Calling right, calling wrong. Good things to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't wait. Download our app, order ahead, skip the line, cut to the chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
This is an easy one. I almost feel guilty, but I don't. Gonzaga's made it to the finals. Listen, when you have a great program and then you add a kid like Jalen Suggs, who, by the way, was a great high school quarterback, so he's just the definition of a leader. He's the best quarterback in Minnesota. He's the best basketball player. So you get all that toughness and that leadership. The kid's just magic. He is just, I cannot wait to watch him. This is the best offense I've seen in college basketball in over a decade. I think they're the best program in the country. Congrats to UCLA. What a fight by the Bruins. What a fight. They may have been the better team for most of that night. But Jalen Suggs and Gonzaga, they're favored tonight for a reason. That offense, good luck running with them, Baylor, because they can put you out of your misery very quickly.
Where Colin was wrong.
Apparently there is a market for Antonio Brown. Seattle now is interested. Baltimore interested. Listen, I don't really get it. I think you optimize Antonio Brown. Do what Tampa did. You know, you bring him in, you limit him, you limit his leverage, you limit his control. And, you know, if you have a few, he didn't play against Green Bay and they won. He had one catch against the Saints and they won. But Tampa Bay, by the way, signed everybody except him. But I just think college football is giving you not only so many great receivers, but they're all good. Like, immediately. I just think the days of a, you know, 30-ish wide receiver with some baggage, I don't think that I wouldn't be interested. I don't know why there's a big market beyond, you know, he's talented, but good God, college football now is just giving you 30 good receivers a year.
Where Colin was right.
Kevin Durant's a remarkable guy. I really think he's a good kid. I really do. I think he's a great player. But last week, Mr. Burner account got burned on social media again, fined $50,000 by the league for some really vile, uncalled for comments to actor Michael Rappaport, a friend of our show. It's beyond that. Listen, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't. And I think he's a remarkable player. But for years and years, I have been told that, and I was told it Friday by another source close to the Warriors. They were walking on eggshells with KD for 3 years. Easily offended, can be incredibly sensitive, hard to manage. And when he left Golden State, their feeling was, okay, we're not going to be as good, but this is just exhausting. This had a lifespan. And he got burned again. I've always thought, I think emotionally and physically, he's a little erratic when you compare him to like a LeBron or Chris Paul.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mac Jones, according to a former NFL GM, Mike Tannenbaum, is a lock to go number 3 to San Francisco. Jim Mora Jr. said he's hearing comparisons to Joe Montana. I don't get it. I don't get it. Never trailed at Alabama in the fourth or third quarters. Always had great protection. Throws a beautiful football. I'm not denying that. Yeah, when you got 9 seconds to throw and you're throwing to wide open guys, a lot of guys can throw a beautiful football. I don't get it.
Where Colin was right.
But former NFL scout Bucky Brooks said this weekend, he is not a first-round player. Thank you. Listen, doesn't have a huge arm, not athletic, not real quick, No second reaction athleticism if the pocket breaks down. Again, I think if he went to San Francisco, I think he would have some success because I think they're so darn well coached and it's a run-centric offense. But I don't see first-round stuff here.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've always had four or five players I believe that can transform any team, Steph Curry being one of them, but not even he can transform the Warriors this year. Under 500, they've got talent, a 10th seed, but Chris Paul transformed a terrible Phoenix team into a number two seed, and Steph Curry is not doing it with Golden State. And they got some talent. I don't know what they're doing, that coaching staff is doing with James Wiseman. But it's just Kelly Oubre can play. They got some talents, just not working. If he's not amazing, they don't win. So it's not that his numbers are bad. But Chris Paul, to this point, is far more impressive. He transforms average rosters.
Where Colin was right.
Anthony Davis still out. Lakers reported yesterday he's a ways away from playing. So this morning, it is April 5th. He has not played since February 14th. And this is what I've said about AD. He's not a number one. He's the world's best two. He is not physically dependable. And he's just an incredibly brittle commodity. It's not really, some of this stuff is just, you know, it's DNA, it's genetics, whatever. It's just like, I think it's hard to be 6'11 as a human being and run up and down the court and bang into people. But I've been on this for years. He doesn't have sort of the alpha leader thing, and he's not dependable physically. That is the definition of a really talented two.
Where Colin was wrong.
I love me some Zion, but he's hurt, and it's a story, and it's a narrative, and I can't deny it. And as much as I like him, I love watching Zion play. Despite that, Brandon Ingram's never played better. Lonzo Ball has been really shockingly good shooting the ball, and right now they're like the 11th seed. Zion, to be great, you got to be able to carry a team more. Right now he's not.
Where Colin was right.
Finally, Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, acknowledged this weekend, there's a reason I had to spend money in free agency. We haven't drafted very well the last couple of years. Putting the onus on Bill Belichick. Finally, Belichick's got a very Greg Popovich system. Systems are completely limited without the stars. How's Steve Kerr's system? How's Greg Popovich's system? How's Bill Belichick's system? I'm not saying their system's not good. Brad Stevens has a system. Brad Stevens doesn't have a star. Jason Tatum's good. Not good enough to get you through KD and Kyrie and James Harden. In the end, I love that Robert Kraft is saying, Bill, you're on notice too. We shouldn't be this bad. We shouldn't have to spend this money in free agency. And with that, Jim Jackson played for almost a decade and a half in the NBA. He was a Big Ten Player of the Year twice, two-time consensus All-American. Jim played when you could be an All-American in college and come back. And I was saying earlier today, I love college basketball in March. I got nothing against the G League. I got nothing against going overseas like LaMelo Ball. That path works too. But I think Jalen Suggs made himself seven figures Saturday night, because you need a story. If you want to go to Nike or Reebok or one of these shoe companies, you need a story. That's when Nike will write the 10, 20, 30, $40 million checks. And Jalen Suggs now has a story. He is a gamer, and Jim Jackson is joining us live. He has been in Indianapolis. God, I hope they have golf courses. Otherwise, you're bored out of your mind.
Yeah, I've been here. I've been here the whole time.
Oh God!
You see my palatial estate here at the hotel.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Rich Paul's LeBron's agent, and interesting cat. And we had this big conversation a couple of weeks ago. And I said, "Listen, I'm not saying college basketball should be the only option, but I'm tired of hearing how it's not a good option. I don't know who the hell Zion is without Duke. I don't sit on YouTube all day." And I said, when I watch Jalen Suggs, okay, he gave up for 9 months G League money. But I'm now a Jalen Suggs fan. I am now completely into him. I'll be rooting for him. And you went through that college process. So I know who you were going into the NBA. Do you think sometimes the NBA too often dismisses college basketball because they don't pay the athletes as just sort of a third option, when I would argue for a year it can be the best option?
No, you have a good point. And I said this, too, about Zion. Because keep in mind, Zion, when he came in, it was R.J. Barrett who was considered to be the number one player coming in the draft. But because Zion went to Duke, he played on national TV all the time, his popularity soared, okay? So that means the money that he received from Nike and other endorsements, that also came to the table. If he was playing in the G League or playing overseas, he wouldn't have been as popular and maybe not been the number one pick. And the same thing can be said about Jalen Suggs. Not saying that he's going to be the overall number one pick and that he wasn't on the radar, but now I think from a fan's perspective, people around, you know, that love NBA basketball now have witnessed Jalen Suggs come to the forefront. But I think it depends on the player, too. What's your end game? Some players are looking to be a professional right away, a la like some guys that play overseas. That's okay. Some guys want to be able to experience, even if it's for 1 year, the college experience, get a chance to play like we see in the NCAA tournament. So it's across the board on what people want to do, but it's trending, Colin. Unfortunately, like a lot of guys still are going to look at the alternative options in regards to either the G League or maybe playing overseas.
When you see, listen, both these, there's going to be four first-round picks in the first round. When you watch Jalen Suggs, does he have a comp? Does he remind? I mean, quarterbacked in high school. So Mark Few told me last week, he's like, he's physical. Like, he's a physical presence. Mm-hmm. Does he remind you of anybody in the NBA? I mean, how much success do you think he would have at the next level?
Well, I mean, a lot of comparisons are in the past to, like, a Jason Kidd, who probably can shoot it better at this point in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jason was, like, 6'4", you know, big, strong. I don't know if he's as fast from baseline to baseline, but the physicality is there. The playmaking ability is there. The mindset is there in regards to him being a leader. So that's a lot of the comparative that they're using a lot of the times when they're talking about Suggs is with Jay Kidd with probably a better jump shot at this point. And then, again, the physicality of playing football is just off the charts.
Listen, Baylor's got real good guard play. I don't know if they can slow down Timmy or Casper down low. I just don't know if they can. I said this. UCLA knew, Jimmy. They knew they couldn't get into a track meet with Gonzaga. They put a body on him. They walked it up the floor. They knew that's just not their style. Part of me thinks Baylor thinks, oh, no, our guards can run up there. We got NBA guards. We're going to run a little bit with Gonzaga. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Or stylistically, what do you think we'll see tonight, Baylor-Zags?
Well, but you know what's interesting, Colin? Go back to the UCLA game. UCLA was only scoring 72 points a game, yet this was overtime and both teams were over 90 points.
Yeah.
So even though it seemed like a slugfest, it wasn't in the 50s, 60s. It was still in the 90s. And I thought UCLA did a good job of exploiting. Mick Cronin did this. Almost NBA style, whether it was Jaime Hawkins or Johnny Juzang, he put those guys in a defensive disadvantage where those two players for UCLA were able to isolate and take a Corey Kispert one-on-one, a Drew Timmy off the switch one-on-one. So he exposed that from Gonzaga. Now, on the flip side, Baylor, the best asset they have, you talked about, is their backcourt, Maceo Teague, you know, Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell. You know, the best way to stop the ball from getting inside is not allowing that pass to get there by your guards in the backcourt. So that's my thing, is that will Gonzaga be able to contend, one, with the pressure of the Butler guards, but also will they be able to defend and keep those quick guards out of the lane? So this is not a cut and dry Gonzaga win. They should be able to dominate, because this is a tough, experienced, hard-nosed Baylor team that are going to take advantage of their quickness on the perimeter.
By the way, Johnny Juzang, butchered his name earlier, is such an interesting story. Goes to Kentucky. I think he came off the bench. Then he goes to UCLA, and he's their best offensive player. And you're just like, I watched him, and I thought he's going to get drafted somewhere. I'm sorry, long. It's amazing the tournament did him a ton of favors.
Oh, big time.
Big time favors for him. So it's interesting. This whole tournament going in, did you feel Baylor Gonzaga, did you feel they'd get here?
Yeah, I did, just from the simple fact of how they were built. Now, a lot of things played out in that way in regards to different teams being eliminated. And again, it all goes back up to matchups. In Michigan, I didn't think that it was going to be a tough road because Isaiah Livers, their best player, got hurt during the Big Ten tournament, and they got past, you know, LSU. But look at UCLA. Their path, because they ended up playing teams like a Michigan State who was playing well at the end of the year, but they matched up well. Abilene Christian. So they gained confidence. So when they finally played at Alabama and the Michigan later on, they were rolling. Okay. So, but I did believe that Baylor and Gonzaga were the two best teams and will ultimately meet in the tournament. Rarely, I'm terrible at picking teams when it comes to brackets. I'm really bad at it, but I just felt those two were the best teams all year.
By the way, I don't want to get into all-time great teams, but I do feel, considering what we're dealing with now, where in college basketball, if you get a Jalen Suggs, you get him for 1 year. Mm-hmm. So the I grew up with Duke and in these programs where Patrick Ewing would come back for a third or a fourth year. You don't have
Tim
that.
Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to think Tim Duncan would keep coming back. But I will say, in the last 10 years, because I can picture that, I think it's the best college offense I've seen in terms of flexibility, diversity. I mean, they can shoot threes, but they don't rely on them. They can go big, but they can also be a high-tempo team. Am I overstating it, or when you watch them, do you think to yourself, boy, this last 10 years, this is special?
No, it has been. I mean, you think about in the last couple, they've been to a Final Four in 2017 as well. National championship game and lost to North Carolina. So they have been trending this way for quite some time. And the common denominator is that you may have a Jalen Suggs, but you have, you know, upperclassmen that have been there. I mean, take a look. You can also put Villanova in that situation because of what they were able to do from going from a big team to a smaller team, but offensively executing because you had upperclassmen, you know, that were there along with, you know, a couple freshmen that came in that play like Jalen Brunson that came in, but he ended up staying to his sophomore year.
Yeah.
So the trend there is that you got upperclassmen who are that end up developing and becoming really good college players in a system that they play 2, 3, 4 years. And so the continuity is there. And plus, I'll tell you what, Colin, coaches, when you circulate freshmen in and out, you know what you got to consistently do is teach. You got to consistently teach the little things. But when you have a team full of veterans, you're not teaching as much because you have guys that have been through the system that are also helping those young players mature offensively, but more importantly, mentally.
Well, that's beautiful artwork behind you in that Indianapolis hotel.
You like that? You're welcome to come and stay if you want.
I think I'll hit some golf balls in L.A. today. I'm good.
Have a cigar for me, too.
A couple. Good seeing you, buddy. Jim Jackson. Right. He's been working Westwood One, doing a great job. Very rarely do I spend this much time on college hoops, but tonight it's college basketball history. I don't remember it well, but the last time a team went undefeated, I think, was Indiana, 1976. I think they had Scott May. They had Kent Benson. I remember those were the Indiana stars. Bobby Knight was thin and a young coach and was doing late night stuff. He was so popular. And it was very much back then, it was very much older teams. The coach was the star. Whereas I actually feel Mark Few kind of lets Jalen Suggs, it's really rare. Like Calipari's the star or Coach K is the star. Mark Few is so low key. He'd been there 22 years, winning his coach in college basketball, and I feel like he just kind of handed the program to Jalen Suggs. And Suggs, to me, the fact that he's quarterbacked is such a real thing to me. First of all, he's been hit. He's physical, got hit a lot. Second of all, quarterback, you're asked to lead. You're not just a talent. So he has been asked to lead his high school football team in Minneapolis or Minnesota, and I don't know exactly where he played, but it's something. Like it makes me like him more as a prospect. Oh, that guy was, you know, it's like I've said about Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. The fact they played baseball is why they never get hit in the NFL because they're such great sliders. Lamar Jackson runs faster than both, but he doesn't slide and he gets clocked. So there are these little things about football and baseball, and you add, you know, Urban Meyer's theory has always been in recruiting. I want somebody who's played at least two sports. I want my football players to have run up and down the court and played some basketball.
Well, we always used to do that.
That was
cross training. I think it has a lot to do with why there's so many more injuries now, because you're not wearing out those same body parts by playing one sport.
I think there's actually studies been done on that. Totally.
I'm not a doctor, but it.
I mean, it's.
I played four sports.
Well, it's just the idea that you just want to have one motion. It's like golfers. You don't think of golfers, you know, getting hurt, but golfers by 45, their backs are falling apart, their wrists. Why? It's the same. You 6 hours on a driving range every day. Doesn't matter if you're getting tackled or not. Your body falls apart.
Yep.
So I just love the fact that Jalen Suggs has been a quarterback. He's been hit. He's physical. He's had to lead. Now he's a basketball star.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If I was in London, if Joy and I were in London, 90% of our show would be English Premier League.
Right.
If we were in Canada, 90% of our show, 80% would be hockey. Just the reality of it. In America, about 68 to 70% of our show is NFL football. But I like these breaks. I really like college basketball. It just gives me a break. It's probably not great overall for my ratings because not as many people love it, and I could talk NFL draft forever. But it's just sometimes I need a break. I want to watch the Masters this weekend. I got some college basketball. I watched some Dodgers. Dodgers are already in first place. This whole, you know, listen, at this point, if you don't win titles, we don't even pay attention to you in L.A. Jared Goff's good. Not good enough. Get Stafford. That's how we roll here.
Well, it's Hollywood. We have standards out here. Yeah,
boom.
For excellence.
Yeah, UCLA. Not good enough.
No, they had an amazing season.
Okay, they're the exception. Johnny Juzang was just, it's amazing what the tournament did to him. He is going to get drafted, I think, first round. He went to Kentucky. He was an L.A. kid, got benched, or not benched, came off the bench, comes back to L.A., and, God, is he a go-to player?
Well, I think everyone just really liked UCLA's style.
Tough.
As well.
Tough. Loved it. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news!
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Chicago Bears, they are... There's something with this quarterback situation. So they didn't make a huge splash signing Andy Dalton in free agency, but the team is... fully committed to him next season. GM Ryan Pace is confident that adding Dalton will make the team better.
See his experience. He's a 9-year starter. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls. That's how we see Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback. He's one of the more complete quarterbacks that we evaluated this year in free agency, and we're excited to have him.
Andy Dalton was 4-5 as a starter last year.
Not terrible.
Not terrible is not the standard you want for your starting quarterback.
Well, I think at this point, Chicago's lost credibility in terms of what they say publicly about their quarterbacks because they love Trubisky. And then
true,
the minute
we all have eyeballs and we watch the same exact game. So while Trubisky might be great in the locker room and they may want him to be the guy, the reality is he's not the guy. That's why he's not the starting quarterback there right now. Same with Andy Dalton. None of this is personal. Andy Dalton is not a good quarterback. There's a reason he was signed as a backup. He was 2-11 his last year in Cincinnati.
Excellent backup.
He's a backup quarterback.
But excellent.
Sure. But the problem is an excellent backup quarterback is not
Rogers.
A franchise quarterback make. It's the same thing that's going on in Washington. Ryan Fitzpatrick is an excellent backup quarterback.
Excellent.
That an excellent backup quarterback is not a, is still not a starting quarterback that, in the league. He's not a franchise quarterback.
That's right.
So what is this pitch?
You know how I feel about that organization. Like the coach, could do without the GM.
I think it's just nonsense. And that's not a knock on Andy Dalton. Like, it's just the numbers speak for themselves. If Andy Dalton was a starting quarterback when Dak Prescott went out, they would have been fine.
Well, he's got red hair. I've never met any man with red hair that's not kind.
Oh, that's not kind.
There's been no serial killers with red hair.
I don't know if that's factual at all.
You
know a lot more about serial killers because you watch
totally anecdotal
serial killer documentaries and everything else. But I don't know if that's factual. So the Bucks have agreed to a contract extension with Drew Holiday. It's a 4-year, $135 million deal with bonuses that could make it up to $160 million.
He's played a long time, and he's a very good basketball player, and I contend he's the glue of the team, not Giannis.
I would tend to agree with that. It also includes a player option in the fourth year. After the deal was made, he sent a video posted to the team's Twitter page that he's a Buck for life.
Oh,
and he's
nice.
Really excited to do some big things in Milwaukee. He's averaging 17 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 5.4 assists. A little bit down from last year where he averaged 19.1 points with the Pelicans, 4.8 rebounds, and 6.7 assists.
He's a very good NBA player on both ends, and he's got some leadership abilities as well.
I love Jrue Holiday as an overall player. I think this is a great signing for them. I don't think it changed anything as far as what I put them, where I rank them in the actual contention conversation.
I think what Milwaukee's telling you is Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday are very good players. Drew's better. But what they're telling you is we're not going to get the big free agents. We get it. So when we get Jrue Holiday, we're going to sign him. And that's what you exactly. Now, I think they overpaid for Chris Middleton, but Jrue Holiday, I would sign him to this contract.
But they're not going to get free agents,
that's
and they
right.
have Giannis, so they might as well do this. And this is not might as well as in like, oh, this is a better option. Jrue Holiday's a great player, and this is what they should do.
Yeah.
I just don't trust the Bucks when it comes to winning championships.
That's right.
This didn't change how I felt about them winning a championship this year or not. They lost in the second round to the Heat last year, lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Raptors, lost in the first round to the Celtics. Like, that's been their past 3 years.
That's right.
They need to make it to the finals.
Prove to us.
Before I start having
We're cynical for a reason.
Well, that is your resume. That is what you have done.
That's right.
So make that change, and then we can start talking as a contender.
When you watch this show, we're not interested in anything other than your resume. We look at your resume. Oh, you can't beat that team. Boom, we're done.
I mean, it's got to make it to the finals.
When you come
I can handle you losing in the finals. It's very hard to win a championship. But if you have the back-to-back MVP, and now they're talking about Giannis winning a third straight MVP.
Oh, boy. Oh,
you
boy.
Need to make it to the NBA Finals.
Got to get to a third round of playoffs in the East.
You have enough on that team.
We're not asking a ton. Get to the – win a third – series in the East.
You don't have to win a championship. It's very hard to win a championship.
Absolutely, you fall apart. There's bad breaks, officiating.
You come up against a much better team, LeBron James. It's fine, but you got to make it to the finals. So the Lakers are hanging in as the fifth seed in the West without LeBron and AD in the lineup.
Not terrible.
No, but it could be a while before they get either of them back. Frank Vogel gave an update on both of his stars on Sunday. He said that AD continues to ramp up his workload, but is a ways away from returning, and LeBron is still out indefinitely.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this at you. That they've just come to terms with, they're going to watch how the team plays. And if they keep winning every other game, the Lakers are like, why bring him back? We saw what happened last year when you gave AD a break. He was a force. So I think the Lakers are just they're not giving us anything. I think they're just watching and saying, if we can just win for the next nine, what's the race to get them back?
Yeah, no, as long as they're still in the playoffs and they're not worried about that play-in situation, I don't think that they should rush him back. But Anthony Davis wasn't injured. They had a break last season. He's coming off of an injury. So he's going to have to get back out there a little bit and get a little oil in the joints. Like, he can't just go straight into playoffs without any time on the court.
10 regular season games. Where are we at right now on games? We got about 30 left. If we got 30 left.
22 left.
How many?
22.
Oh, okay. I want him back in 9 games. Give me about 10, 11 games, chemistry, then we go.
That's not that long from now. And they don't have a time. They don't have a...
Listen, sometimes
time on him returning.
You ever work with a coworker, and they're just not everyday people?
Yeah, but I'm not. Yes.
Okay. And sometimes you're just like, but they're good when it matters. So we'll get to the fall ratings book. They'll be good. Boom. I've worked with people.
I have too. I get it. That is concerning when you're going into the playoffs this year. Like, I don't know if that's going to work this year. I think that LeBron and AD need to be 100% healthy and have had a few games in before going into the playoffs. Like, where they're seated doesn't matter. That doesn't matter this year. They are going to slowly start getting fans back, but until we're back at 100% capacity, I'm not going to give too much to where you're seated this year. But they do need to be healthy.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
I am,
news.
First of all, I'm giddy for two reasons. One, the Zags Baylor tonight. Number two, the staff, Chris, one of our guys here, got me corn nuts, a big bag of corn nuts. And it's a hard thing to explain. You ever have something in your life, you know they're not great for your teeth, they're great for you? Nobody eats corn nuts and lives longer. They're not bad for you, but it's not a health food.
think it's a terrible snack. There's a lot of salt, but... A
lot of salt.
Just drink some more water.
They are. I got deer chasing
There's
me around the
definitely
studio.
Definitely worse things you could be snacking on.
Oh, yeah, but they're just loaded with sodium.
You do love corn nuts, and you miss our snack. You of all people...
Listen.
You're the actually the only person who complains about there not being a snack.
So when I got... Part of the reason I came here was the snacks. So I came here with a promise of snacks in between breaks. A year, nothing. Cheerios and nothing. And I'm like, hey, step it up. Other companies are coming to me right now saying snacks for Cowherd.
Yeah. He's a grazer. I eat a big breakfast, so I don't snack really at all. It's very rare that I have any
graze,
kind of snacks.
Graze. A way to live.
We used to have a very big spread in the back with
nothing.
Cereal,
zero.
Candy,
and
chips.
No apparent interest in going back to it.
Well, we are still in a pandemic, so it's for health reasons.
If I'm not here in a couple years, it's the snacks. Don't listen to the media critics. That's what it is. All right, you heard. Coming up, I got a rant, and I'll get to it in a second.
Do you like football? Do you like the NFL draft? Well, guess what? I have you covered. On the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, I need you to go subscribe right now because we're talking the draft. We're talking Zach Wilson. We're talking Justin Fields. Mac Jones. Is he really going to go to the 49ers? I have it all covered. I used to scout in the NFL, and now I talk about football on the 3 and Out podcast. Go subscribe right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, it's funny. One of my kids asked me, why do you think people aren't getting the vaccine? And I said, listen, like we're getting 4 million people are getting the vaccine a day. Even in Los Angeles, I can go for a jog now, not wear a mask, go for a walk, not wear a mask. The beach, not wear a mask. Nobody's freaking out. Like, L.A. County's been great. We grew up, you know, we're here. And if people understand it. We're getting to herd immunity pretty quick and full vaccination, right? And I told one of my kids, I said, why aren't people getting vaccinated? 50 million Americans thought it was a hoax. You can't convince people we're in a post-truth society. You can have information that is data, and if people just don't want to believe it. So I'm like... You know, I think my son or my daughter one time, I said, Twitter is about trying to convince people to think like you. That's what it is. Democrats trying to convince Republicans to think like them. Republicans trying to convince Democrats to think like them. And I'm like, 50 million Americans thought it was a hoax.
They feel like it's a hoax. And the problem is the facts don't really care about your feelings.
Right.
So people feel like they're like being told what to do, which you are being told what to do.
We all have somebody in our think about this. We all have somebody in our family. You go to Thanksgiving dinner and they come in with a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Your loony uncle. And you just kind of pacify him, give him their glass of wine, and you can't wait for it to end. He gets in his car with his wife and drives home. Every family has one of those. We'll just multiply it to all the families. And
I don't know if it's one anymore either.
So it's like, why isn't everybody taking the vaccination? Well, first of all, most people are that have been offered it. Some haven't been offered it. But part of it is so everybody's got a crazy guy in the family, and that person just mutates are all around America, and you got crazy people.
Yeah, I say the same thing to everyone. If talk to your doctor, your personal doctor.
Yeah.
If they tell you not to get it, cool. If it's just your opinion, I actually do not care
at all.
Your opinion is. Yeah. At all. Not for a second.
By the way, I was thinking about this. I understand patience. You should be patient in life with your kids, with your jobs. You know, patience matters. And I'm not terribly patient. But in the NFL, there are a couple of things we know to be true in a very small window. Number one, next year's NFL draft is not good for quarterbacks. Like, if you need one in 2 or 3 years, and you could get one this year, like Trey Lance, draft him. We know that for a fact. The second thing is, if you don't have a dynamic athlete at quarterback, increasingly, or at least pretty athletic, it's hard to win in this league. Because offensive line play has deteriorated badly. Because the new CBA, they don't practice as much. And that unit, O-lines, needs practice. Very few great O-lines in the NFL. Very few. So I was thinking about this weekend. Knowing those two things, bad quarterback draft next year. And you got to be dynamic at quarterback. So think about, let's compartmentalize the NFL quickly. There's about 7 teams in the NFL I feel like are in the Super Bowl bubble. I had Seattle out, but I think they've upgraded the O-line and tight end. So Green Bay, Seattle, Rams, Tampa, NFC, Kansas City, Buffalo, Indianapolis, AFC. About 7. They should be favored. There's seven teams after that. I don't know if they have a Super Bowl in them, but they're darn talented, especially Baltimore and Cleveland. Baltimore, Cleveland, Miami, Tennessee, Washington, Saints, Steelers, Arizona. A lot of good players on those teams. Okay, that's almost half the league right there. A third category is that these teams, there's about five of them, they have won a lot of games. They weren't very good last year, but I think they're going to bounce back. The Niners, if Garoppolo's healthy, the Chargers fix the O-line, Cowboys, Dak is back, Patriots bounce back, and I like Minnesota's coach and their skill people. Those teams are bounce back teams. So we're down to 12 teams left. Now, of the 12 teams left, many of them have a viable solution at quarterback. Matt Ryan and Atlanta. Without Matt Ryan, Atlanta could have been 1-15. Derek Carr in Las Vegas. He's not the problem. He's the only solution you have for a terrible defense. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati. Again, not the issue. Got hurt, not the issue. There's a handful of teams that have a quarterback. That's not an issue. But the one that just I'm mystified by, the two are Denver, who has easily the fourth best quarterback. They've got to trade up and make something happen. And Carolina, which has Teddy Bridgewater, who is fine as a bridge, but we have multiple reports they're not happy. What are those teams doing? You got Marcus Mariota is only 27-year-old guy. Very dynamic. Marcus Mariota. Sam Darnold's 23. Those guys are starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, I'm not saying I build around them for 10 years, but they're good enough. They're better than Teddy Bridgewater. Marcus Mariota, in today's NFL, and Sam Darnold, the ability to move around makes them very viable. So I'm not talking about Detroit. They got Goff. Las Vegas has Derek Carr. Cincy Burrow. Atlanta, Matt Ryan. Not talking about those. They have a solution. May not be the best, but it's a solution. It's a winning quarterback. I do not get. And by the way, Carolina, Denver both have top 10 picks, and they're not going to get a quarterback. And the other thing to remember is in this league, the good teams, the Colts, said, all right, 12-4, not good enough. We're going to upgrade at quarterback. The good teams, Rams 10-6, won a playoff game, not good enough. So in the NFL these days, teams that are good at quarterback are upgrading. What is Carolina doing? They got a new owner. He's aggressive. What are you doing? Like, again, we all know they've released, they have let it hit the market. Teddy Bridgewater is a bridge, and they're running out of patience. Okay, in your own division, it's Brady and Matt Ryan. And Jameis Winston, as a talent, is more talented than Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I've always defended Teddy Bridgewater because I think he's a great bridge, a great guy. I'm not going to build a fortress of people around him. I'm not going to hire a staff just for him. But he absolutely can start in this league. I would take him over Ryan Fitzpatrick. Tyrod Taylor, other quarterbacks who can win games. I think he's, to be honest with you, he's very Kirk Cousins. You got to put a lot around him, but he's a very capable guy. But Denver and Carolina, I don't get. Reportedly in Denver, they don't like Darnold because they think he's too much like Drew Lock. To which, if you knew their personalities, he is nothing like Drew Lock. They think he's young and erratic. They're not the same personality, that's all I'll tell you. Not a shot in anybody, but they're not the same personality. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. Amazing, because Discover is accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Also, the Seahawks might be swooping in on Antonio Brown, which does surprise me. Antonio Brown is 32 years old. He's got some personal baggage. Listen, Tampa signed everybody except AB, which, by the way, I've always said, if I would pay rarely huge money, but I would, when I do pay big money, it's not just to talented people, it's long-term personality. So Tampa has Lavonte David, captain, 7 years. I'll back the Brinks truck up for that. Shaq Barrett, elite pass rusher, about seven of those in the league. I'll back up the Brinks truck. Brady, Gronk as a big blocking tight end, culture build. Absolutely. There are a lot of guys I'd build. AB's personality is not a long-term personality. I think Tampa optimized how you use him perfectly. Help him, put him in a system, elevate him, and then let him fly to the market. So Tampa re-signed everybody. shy of the trainers and ball boys, but they didn't AB, and I think that's the way to do it. I am surprised there's a market. The market is good teams, too, Baltimore and Seattle. He's 32, and there's a lot of good college receivers entering the draft this year. Hour three next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.